Welcome back to the second part of the Townships at 12 for today. And in this second part of the show, I will be talking with Andy Telfer, Executive Director of WITS. That's WITS. I will also have some health news and some music. We will start the second half of the show with the song called Voices in My Head, and it's by Anima, Argy, and Son of Sun. And we will talk with Andy Telfer from WITS right after the song, so please stay tuned.
Voices in my head go, voices in my head go, voices in my head go, voices in my head go. I know I should sleep, but the voices in my head go. I know I should sleep, but the voices in my head go. Voices in my head go. I know I should sleep, but the voices in my head go. I know I should sleep, but the voices in my head go. Voices in my head go, voices in my head go, voices in my head go. I know I should sleep, but the voices in my head go, voices in my head go, voices in my head. Voices in my head go. Voices in my head go. Voices in my head go. I know I should sleep, but the voices in my head go.
CJMQ 88.9 FM, I'm Maureen Dillon Teasdale, and today I'm very happy to welcome to the Townships at 12, Andy Telfer. He's the Executive Director of WITS, so welcome, Andy.
Thank you. Good to be here, Maureen.
Now, can you start by telling our listeners about WITS? What does it stand for and the mission behind the program?
WIT stands for Walk Away, Ignore, Talk It Out, and Seek Help. Now, these are really simple strategies for children, young children, to learn so that they can address victimization, such as bullying or discrimination, when they encounter it underage. So the strategies are designed, they're so simple that it's easy for young children to remember them. And that's really key here. And that's why the WITS program has been so well accepted, proven effective, and prolific across the country. Yeah, it's just easy for kids to understand the strategies and to actually implement them.
Now, as the executive director, what drew you personally to being in this role in the organization's work?
Oh, well, I've been working for charities for a very long time. Specifically, you know, this is a great cause. We're helping, you know, tens of thousands of kids, children and youth every year. And we're creating atmospheres in schools and playgrounds and in communities that are more, that are safer, that are where kids feel more accepted and where they know that there are actions they can take, you know, to get themselves out of a difficult situation so they feel more confident as children and eventually as adults.
How widespread is the program in Canada?
The WITS program has been introduced in about 10% of the schools across Canada, all the way from St. John's, Newfoundland to Victoria, British Columbia, and as far north as Iqaluit.
Okay, any in Quebec?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There are a lot of programs in Quebec. We've been working a lot with, I think it's St. John's of Richelieu, St. John's School there. They're a big fan, and I believe they're in the Eastern Township.
Right. Okay. A little bit out of it, but that's good.
I'll try and find some more examples while we're on the phone here.
Yeah. It's no problem.
I'll have to take a look at our map. Yeah.
Can you share a success story that highlights how the WITS has made a real difference in a school or even in the community?
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely have stories of children. We've got a lot of quotes from children and teachers who express the huge difference that the program has made in their school. They definitely see a difference between when they didn't have the WITS program and after they did have the WITS program. Principals tell us about the amount of time that they used to spend, you know, helping resolve conflict and having children in their office and having to manage those situations and calling the parents. And now that often reduces very significantly, you know, to less than half or even more. And because the children are empowered to manage the scenarios on their own by implementing, you know, one of the strategies, walk away or ignore or talk it out or seek help. We often, you know, ask them to, the caveat with seek help is, you know, trying to save that to the last. And when we say seek help, we mean seek help from a trusted adult.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's how one way you would measure the effectiveness of the WITS program working?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Of course, the program has been evaluated and it has been proven to be effective to reduce bullying and victimization by up to 25%. So that's why it's so popular, because often these days, you know, schools are looking for evidence-based programming, which the WITS program is. So that's one reason why it's, you know, popular.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we find the way that the program has expanded has mostly been because educators or principals, when they move from one school to the other, they bring the program with them and they decide to implement it at their new school. And it's really been growing organically.
Wonderful. Bullying has changed a lot with the rise of social media. So what does the WITS program, how does that address the issues of cyberbullying in today's digital age?
Well, we know that, you know, cyberbullying absolutely happens more with older children than younger, because younger have less access to social media or, you know, inter-peer communications. And we typically work with younger children. But to address that, let's say the ages 8 to 12 age group, we do have some modules on one of our focus modules that's called in cyberbullying and internet safety that describes, you know, what you can do with your new phone, what you can do to prevent victimization online, actions that you can take.
Okay. What advice would you give to parents who are struggling to help their child deal with bullying?
Yeah, chin up. It's not the first time it's ever happened. Talk to your school administrator if it's happening, or whoever's in charge of the scenario where bullying is happening. Talk to them first and see what progress can be made there. If progress can't be made there, you know, initially, you can talk to them about WITS program or our other programs, such as Canadian Kindness Leaders and Pink Shirt Project. And they're all designed to empower children and youth and to bring kids more together than apart.
What are some of the biggest challenges WITS is facing with trying to implement your programs in schools and communities?
Oh, good question. Well, we find that the program is generally accepted, you know, across the country. If the only challenge we have is that maybe there's another program that they're using that's similar, and it's having a positive effect in the school, and that's fine too. We don't need to be the only program in Canada. Really, that's the only thing I can think of, because, like I said, you know, everybody agrees that this is a wonderful program.
Okay, what about COVID-19, the pandemic? How did this affect bullying? Was there more bullying or less? Or,
you know, one of the reasons why kids, and I don't want to, you know, focus specifically on bullying, but sometimes they treat each other in ways that are not happy situations, because kids who are young don't know. They don't know. They're experimenting with how they interact with each other. With the pandemic, we saw that kids were being homeschooled and not going into a social environment like a school for 1, 2, or even 3 years. And And so we're seeing children enter elementary schools or junior schools as old as like 8 years old, having not been in that kind of a social scenario before. And that's tough for them when they're, you know, so they're experimenting as an 8 year old, you know, how to be social instead of like a 4 or 5 year old on how to be social with others in kind of a large group situation in schools. So that's been really difficult. And we've heard this a lot, from educators across the country. Really, the principles of our program still apply to those scenarios. And those children, like anyone else, need to be taught the kind of tools, not only tools that we teach, but other tools, you know, about personal regulation and social emotional learning, so that they can be more social and understand social activity or social interactivity a little better.
Looking ahead, what's next for the WITS program? Any new initiatives or goals that you're excited about?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Yes, we do. We just introduced something called focus modules, and they are designed to support inclusion, and they're literature-based packages that address discrimination in four different ways: race and culture, sexual orientation and gender identity, indigenous people and cultures, and diverse abilities. And they're wonderful packages for schools to use to educate their kids on acceptance and inclusion in these various aspects. And they're all age appropriate. We vetted the literature very closely and made sure that kids can understand and accept them, and educators will be happy with the product. So next, following up on that, we are looking at doing a lot more in the area of inclusion, and we hope to be able to create a very strong program similar to the WITS program that will be very attractive to help proactively help children accept and include others who are different than themselves.
Okay, sounds exciting. Sounds really good. How can people, parents, educators, community members get involved with the WITS program and support the mission?
They can go to witsprogram.ca and go to the Contact Us section, or email us info@witsprogram.ca. There's a lot of information on our website. There's information for families, 12 different languages, on our families page. If there's not something there that they can help people out, we really encourage them to give us a call or email.
Okay. Any key message you'd like to give to our listeners about bullying prevention and the role of WITS, and what would that be?
Yeah. Remember, it's you are not the first person that these things have happened to if you're being bullied. There are solutions. Don't fret too much about it if you can. I know it feels tough, but there are solutions out there, and we're here to help.
Okay. Anything else that we left out, Andy?
Well, thanks for asking, Maureen. We also have a wonderful show on Pink Shirt Day. So it's designed for children ages 4 to 12. It's a show that's shot live in studio and broadcast via Zoom. And people can go to our PinkShirtDayCanada.ca website in order to learn more and to take part in other Pink Shirt Day initiatives as well.
Okay, Pink Shirt Day, February 26th. That's coming up soon. Andy Telfer, the Executive Director for WITS. Thanks very much, Andy, and all the best on all your projects.
Yeah, you're welcome, Mark.
And it's time for some health news here on the Townships at 12. Heart surgery is a serious and invasive medical procedure and can be intimidating for a patient. A new study published in the Mayo Clinic Proceedings suggests that virtual reality can be an effective tool to reduce preoperative anxiety in older patients undergoing their first open-heart surgery. While much of the research to date using VR involved younger patient populations, these research findings suggest that immersive VR was effective and well-tolerated in older patients. These reductions in anxiety are particularly significant given the known link between preoperative anxiety and negative postoperative outcomes, including increased pain, reduced activity, and higher medication use. This research represents a step forward in improving the patient experience and potentially using this approach to optimize postoperative recovery, says Jordan Miller, PhD, a cardiovascular disease researcher at the Mayo Clinic and senior author of the study. Joseph Durney, MD, and Joseph Stulak, MD, both cardiac surgeons at Mayo Clinic, involved with the study, emphasized the importance of emotional state before and after cardiac surgery. We currently offer music and massage therapy after cardiac surgery because we know what a negative impact high anxiety has on recovery after surgery. Our team is now exploring broader implementation of VR, which can be used at any time and place, inside or outside the hospital, throughout the surgical episode to further evaluate its impact on clinical outcomes. Unlike traditional anti-anxiety medications, which can have drawbacks, such as increased difficulty placing the tube that helps a patient breathe during surgery and a longer time to remove the tube after surgery, VR offers a non-pharmacological alternative. The study also highlights the potential of VR as a flexible tool, with a tablet-based option providing a viable alternative for patients susceptible to VR-induced motion sickness and heart surgery. Each patient wore a monitor to record vital signs and completed a standardized clinical validated anxiety test before and after the VR intervention on the day of surgery. The test asked them to rate their current state with 20 questions related to feelings ranging from calm to upset. Participants rated each feeling on a scale of 1 to 4, with 1 being not at all and 4 being very much. Half of the participants were assigned a VR tablet and the other half to immersive VR goggles while they waited in the holding area prior to surgery. The VR provided a 10-minute nature experience with guided breathing as they viewed trees and a waterfront that changed through 4 seasons. The tablet played a video of the content seen by patients in VR, while people who used the immersive VR headset were able to look all around and identify environmental features, which helped them advance through the scene. Both interventions reduced the pulse rate of participants, but they did not affect respiration rate or oxygen levels. Overall, anxiety scores decreased an average of 2 points with the tablet treatment and 2.9 points with the VR goggles. Additionally, the researchers note that the scores improve considerably in up to 7 of the anxiety-focused questions with the tablet and VR goggles. Several of those responses specifically represent a more positive outlook change from their previously negative feelings, a finding that has the researchers feeling optimistic about the abilities of VR to make surgery less stressful for patients. And that's our health news today here on the Townships at 12. I'd like to thank my guest on today's show, Andy Telfer, Executive Director of WITS. Don't forget Pink Shirt Day coming up on February 26th. And I'd also like to thank Holly Nyenkamp from Liver Canada in the first part of today's show. And I just want to add that if anybody has an idea for an interview, or if you just want to send me a comment, please email me at cjmqnews@gmail.com. Seriously, I would love to hear from you. And also, don't forget, if you do belong to a nonprofit organization and you have an event coming up, we would be happy to announce the event on the show. It's free. Again, the emails, cjmqnews@gmail.com, or you can also use cjmqnews@yahoo.ca. Have a great afternoon, everybody. And don't forget, the Tuesday show is repeated on Wednesday at noon, and it's also available on our website by Tuesday evening. Just go to the Shows tab. We will close today's show with a song called I Guess We're Not the Same, and it's by Sammy Virgin.
I guess we're not the same anymore. I guess we're not the same. Same, same. I guess we're not the same anymore. Ooh, guess we're not the same, same. I guess we're not the same anymore. I guess we're not the same. we're not the same, same, same. I guess we're not the same anymore. Ooh, guess we're not the same, same. I guess we're not the 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 same. Guess we're not the same anymore. I'm